Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by our guest speaker. For more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
I think Mario is the only person that calls me rich. And it always perks my ears up because nobody else in my life has ever called me rich. I don't know if it's an English thing or it's just...
It's a prophetic statement of all that's to come.
Oh, right, rich. Yes. It is such a joy to be here today, I'll tell you. I had my 80th birthday, June 3rd. And I said to my dear wife, Janet, I'm going to give myself a birthday present. I'm going to Maine for the month of October. As most of you know, I grew up down in Wiscasset, and I just love Maine. I love being here. The sounds, the smells just invigorate my whole person. So she said, well, I may not go with you. And I said, well, that's okay. We've been married 52 years, and, you know, I think we can be apart for a few weeks without falling apart. So she's in Pittsburgh for 2 weeks, enjoying some friends and our family there. And I'm here, and I'm just loving it, absolutely loving it. And at Katie's wedding, Chad said to me, so I hear you're preaching at the Vineyard. And I said, yes. He said, what are you preaching about? I said, I don't know. I said, you know, Chad, that's how I function now. I just let the Lord put on my heart what he wants you to hear. And I'm very serious about this. I say that to myself, I say it out loud. I say, Lord, just give me the words that you want your children to hear. And I believe he does that. You know, we have a Holy Spirit who works in us and through us. And so that's how I function these days. So last Friday, I decided maybe it was time to get serious about this praying for the sermon. And I was looking at my Bible, and I have these little sheets in here. Janet and I had the joy of going to Chile for 2.5 months this year, and I was an Anglican vicar again for 2 months. And every Sunday, I produced one of these little sheets of paper they could put in their Bible, because, you know, Anglicans are a little stiff. Pardon me, Mario, but you've come away from that. But many of them go by the book. And that's okay. I did that for 40-odd years. So I decided, though, I wanted to have something that would just sort of tease them a little bit, you know. So every Sunday, I came out with one of these. And one of them, two or three of them were hymns. You know, this one is Freely, Freely. You know, anybody know that hymn? God forgave my sins in Jesus' name. I love it. I sing it to myself over and over every so often. So that was one of them. And then the other one that was here in my Bible the other morning is from Colossians 2, 6 to 12. And as I was looking at it, this is the sincerest, honest truth. I don't want any of you to think I'm putting you on. My little phone did its buzz and blink. You know, I'm so not computer connected. My wife is the genius. But I'm sitting there with a cup of coffee, and this little thing blinks, and it's Mario. And Mario sends me a text, and he said, do you know what the title of your sermon is for Sunday, so we can put it in the bulletin, put it on the website? And I picked up this piece of paper, and the title of this section from Colossians 2 in the New Living Bible is Freedom from Rules. Freedom from Rules. And I truly believe the Holy Spirit created that moment. And so I texted him right back. I imagine he was very surprised. And I said, freedom from rules. And to be honest, that's how I preach now. I preach with really depending mostly upon the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that has created the faith that's in me. I want to just tell you one little historical thing, because Jimmy Gonda's right there in the front row. Some of my most powerful experiences as a Christian person And I had been a clergyman for many years when I arrived at the Vineyard. But some of my most powerful experiences with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, happened right in this place. This family of believers has allowed me to grow so much in the power of the Holy Spirit that I just have to say thank you this morning to that. And one of my first experiences was Jimmy upstairs in one of those adult class things, and I was giving my testimony about how after 40 years of following the rules, that's going to be part of it today, God set me free, saved me, and powerfully delivered me. And I was telling this story and giving testimony, and this curly-haired dude over there just looked up and he said, "Well, Richard, you're just a recycled Pharisee." Came right out of his mouth. And that's the truth. That's what I am. I am a recycled, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Pharisee. A Pharisee is a person who just has to have rules all the time. And they live by rules. And every action they do is based on this rule or that rule. And you know, there are many Christians like that. That's what we call religion. Religion is very different than having a relationship with Jesus. I didn't know that until I was 40 years old. I actually got saved at 40. At a full gospel business meetings meeting at the Holiday Inn in downtown Portland. I never thought, as an Episcopalian, I would be at a full gospel businessmen's meeting. But my wife is very persuasive. Anybody else here who has a persuasive wife? Yes. And that's what she wanted to do for her birthday present. And I thought, oh my goodness. I'll be very honest. The first thought that came to my head, and this was 40 years ago when she said that, was that would be just like running down Congress Street naked. Honestly, I had no desire to go to the full, because those were the dudes that raised their hands, you know, and got crazy and prayed over people and people fell down. I mean, sounds weird for me to say that now after 40 years of enjoying it, but that's truly how I felt. I was a person who was caught up in rules. I lived my whole life as a religious person by this rule and that rule. And you know what? I thought I was doing the right thing. I really thought I was obeying God. By being that kind of a strict adherent to what I thought were the best rules of all. Of course, most of the time they were my rules. And I got very good at telling other people about how they should be a good Christian. Well, I want to read you this morning. If you've got your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 2. I'm reading from the New Living, beginning at verse 6. "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him." Now, I don't know if you have the same emphasis on the word him in your translation, but that just struck me. You must continue to follow him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith, now I skipped one here. I got too excited. Let's go back. You must continue to follow him, let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then, when you do those things, your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. How many of you here can quickly, just in your mind, identify a person who first witnessed to you about Jesus? And that person will always be special in your life because they helped you get to know Jesus as a living Savior. See, I never knew that until I was 40. But I can look around this room this morning, and some of the most powerful people who've shared Jesus with me are sitting right here amongst us. And that is so important in the Christian experience. Sometimes we get a little timid, you know. We think people are going to think we're off crazy because we're always talking about Jesus. But that's the basis of our faith. He died for my sins. You know, I said those words for 40 years, but I didn't take them in. You know, like Paul says to the Colossians, let your roots grow down into him. It was all on the surface. I went on Sunday to the church. I said the words. You know, I sang the hymns. But the truth of what Jesus did for me when he died on the cross had never penetrated my heart. And it didn't until one night at the Holiday Inn. When a skinny old man, well, he wasn't that old, I'm 80, I'm sure he was younger, who makes donuts, I hope he's still alive, Luke the Donut Maker from New Haven, Connecticut, stood up to just share a bit about Jesus. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit just took those simple words and just went right into my heart. And never in my life did I think I was going to step forward and go up there and let those crazy men pray over me. But it was like, I tell people, it was like there was a button right at the base of my spine, and the Holy Spirit came along and went, pshkoo! And I just stepped out and I walked right up front. And there was Luke, and he just put his hand on my forehead, and I went right over in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I heard the Lord speak to me that night. You see, that's what sharing the simple truth about Jesus in your life can do to draw others into that faith. As Paul says to the Colossians, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. There's nothing more important than your living relationship with Jesus. And the older I get, the more I realize that. And you know, the beauty is nothing can take that away. Nothing. And developing that just happens as you seek him and you enjoy being with him. I love the next verse. This is my second point, if anybody's counting. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. I love that. Paul was so direct, you know. There's good truth and then there's absolute nonsense. And you know, a Christian can tell the difference because you have the Holy Spirit in you. You can tell the difference between simple, powerful truth and nonsense. And there's a lot of nonsense out there in the world. I had dinner the other night with some friends, and there was a woman there who had just lost her best friend to cancer. And she's been, in the last 3 weeks, seeking out every medium she could find because she wants to get in touch with her friend. She's lonely. And they loved each other. And you know, I was sort of on the spot for a minute because I didn't want to make her feel uncomfortable. But I looked right at her, and I've known her for years. I said, Betty, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just let your hearts be open because he's here. I said, Betty, do you really think Barbara wants to talk to you? And I said, I don't say that to hurt you. I just say that because Barbara's in a better place. She's rejoicing. I said, why are you trying to pull somebody back from a place where they are just rejoicing in heaven with God and all of the company of heaven? And she looked at me for a moment, and I know that she heard what I said. She didn't like it. And I didn't say it to hurt her. I simply couldn't pass that opportunity to say, there's a greater place. And I can't imagine when I die wanting to be back, even though I love my wife, I love my children. But heaven is so full of joy and all goodness that I'm going to want to be there with Jesus rejoicing. So I say that because there are a lot of crazy philosophies going around. And I think sometimes Christians are a little timid about just saying what you honestly believe. You know, as Paul says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies, high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world. And I'll tell you, Betty's already had some weird experiences. She told me about them. There are powers in this world that can be very confusing, rather than from Christ. Now, here's my third point, if you're counting. I didn't even know it was going to work out this way, but I like it. Verse 9 says, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. Isn't that a powerful statement? That is the simple truth of the Christian faith. In Christ, a man who God sent to this earth to show each one of us how much he, our Heavenly Father, loves us. And let him die on a cross so that we might know for sure that God's word is true. That man, Jesus, had all the fullness of God himself in a human body. That's why you and I can relate to him, because he was a man like you and I. He was a person. He lived and breathed and cried and suffered. And then he drew us to himself through the power of the cross. Verse 10. So you also are complete. Listen to this. Don't let anybody tell you any different. This is God's word, not Richard's word. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. So you also are complete, regardless of the failings you know you have, regardless of all the sins you've committed in the last week. Don't let those things trip you up. Just confess them. You wouldn't want to hear my list. Don't let them keep you from experience the fullness that God wants you to have in Jesus. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. I love to share my testimony, because, and every one of us has one, if we've given our heart to Jesus, And never be ashamed to share that simple truth of how, through the power of God's love, the Holy Spirit drew you out of darkness into the light, the simple true light of God's love. And you know, there's nothing more powerful than a simple word of testimony. Because human beings are skeptical. And they get very religious because of that. Because religion does what? It gives you rules. One of the words God gave me as I was just praying the other day after this title came was, tell them it's relationship, not rules. Tell them it's relationship, not rules. And I know you folks here thrive on relationships. Such a powerful thing for the body of Christ. And as I said in the beginning, I used to feel ashamed when I did this. I turned 80 in June and I don't care anymore because I know now that's just the Holy Spirit saying, putting the, as my, a friend of mine used to say, putting the emphasis on the syllable. It's just the Holy Spirit saying, you said something, Richard, now just let me push it in to their hearts. It's relationship, not rules. And here in this place, I learned more about the relationship of Jesus and of God the Father to his children than I have anywhere else that I've been. And so, Mario, I thank you for the invitation to be here. I am so excited to see so many faces I recognize. And we want to have a ministry time.